May be seated. Take your Bibles and turn over to Matthew's Gospel chapter 1. Matthew's Gospel chapter 1, we have Matthew's account of the birth narrative of our Lord Jesus. Matthew chapter 1, we'll begin reading in verse 18 and read through the end of the chapter. In respect for the Word of God, if you would stand while I read. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophets. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. You may be seated. Today we're going to concentrate on the name that is given in verse 23, that prophecy from Isaiah, Emmanuel, which literally is with us God, which emphasizes more than simply God with us, that with us God, in the person of Jesus Christ, God Himself came to dwell among us. Think about that for a moment. The Lord of the universe, the Creator of all things, has come to dwell and walk among us. He who is most exalted has come to walk among His lowly creatures. It is indeed unfathomable when you stop to think about it and to ponder it. And today, this is what I believe God would have us to do. To just think about, ponder, reflect on the truth of with us God, Emmanuel. And I trust and hope that as we reflect and ponder on this reality, that it will bring us into a deeper level of worship of our Lord Jesus. As we realize what it meant for Him to come among us and to walk with us. Today, I think there are three truths that the Lord would have us to see. First, Emmanuel, God with us, was a unique miracle. Secondly, Emmanuel, God with us, was a fulfillment of ancient prophecies. And thirdly, Emmanuel, God with us, was necessary for the salvation of His people. First, Emmanuel, God with us, took a unique miracle never repeated in human history. When Matthew begins this narrative of Jesus' birth, in the very first verse of this narrative, he tells us that it was a miraculous birth. He says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph. Now, betrothed is different than engagement. To be betrothed in the Old Testament was to enter into a contract of marriage. Now, the marriage ceremony had not been formally done. Therefore, they did not live together. They did not enjoy intimate physical relationship. That was saved for the actual ceremony of marriage and after that. But nevertheless, it was a binding agreement, a binding covenant. That in order for that covenant to be broken, there would have to be a lawsuit of divorce filed. And so it's not like engagement of our day when you'll hear about people being engaged and then several months later you'll hear if they broke off the engagement. No. It was a very serious thing. It was a deep commitment. And he tells us that he had been betrothed to Mary before they came together. That's a euphemistic way of saying before they had entered into the intimate relations of the marriage act. That they had maintained both their virginity. And before they had come together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. This unique miracle was his conception by the Holy Spirit. Jesus was conceived in a way that was unique, a miracle that has never happened before in human history, and it never happened since, and never will happen in all of human history. It was a unique miracle. Now, Jesus healed many people who were lame. Even those who were raised from the dead couldn't claim that their miracle was unique. Not only raised Lazarus, but he also raised Jairus' daughter, you remember? He healed several who were blind, so they could not claim that their miracle was unique. But here in the miraculous conception of Jesus by the Holy Spirit, we have a unique miracle never to be repeated in all of human history. Now, Matthew makes a great deal of Jesus' miraculous conception. He mentions that Joseph was going to put her aside. He was going to divorce her because she was pregnant. Now, obviously, he knew he had not had relations with her, so he naturally assumed somebody had. And that meant if he was going to be an honorable man, and he was, he would have to put her aside or divorce her. Now, he could do this one of two ways. He could do it in a very secretive way, a way that would be private, or he could make a public lawsuit about it. Now, Joseph, being a good man and loving Mary, did not want to embarrass her, and so he chose to take the less public way, the private way, as not to bring any more shame on her than she would already have. And so he had intended in his mind to do this, but he had a dream. And in that dream, an angel of the Lord came to him and explained to him that this child that Mary had was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And so Matthew gives us this whole story in order to really press and stress for us that God with us, Emmanuel, took a miracle, a unique miracle in human history. And it also says, notice in verse 25, that Joseph kept her a virgin until she gave birth to the Lord Jesus. Now, contrary to Roman Catholic dogma, Mary did not continue to be a virgin. The New Testament clearly tells us in one passage that Jesus had four brothers, names him, and says he had sisters. So we know at least he had two sisters. Mary was neither conceived and miraculously, immaculate conception, nor did she remain a virgin all of her life. That's not in Scripture anywhere. And so don't be sucked into that false doctrine. It says he kept her a virgin, though, until she gave birth to Jesus. Now, you can question the Old Testament meaning of virgin, and some have. Because in the passage quoted from Isaiah, the Hebrew word can mean a maiden. But then again, the norm in the Old Testament days was a maiden was a virgin. And so, again, it would indicate clearly that this prophecy was that Jesus would be born of a virgin. But even if you put aside the Old Testament and any controversy there might be in that Hebrew word, Matthew makes it clear that his understanding, as he is inspired by the Holy Spirit, is that the Lord Jesus is born of a virgin, miraculously conceived by the Holy Spirit of God. Now that brings us to this question. Why is it significant that Jesus be born of a virgin and conceived miraculously by the Holy Spirit? First, his miraculous conception by the Virgin Mary stresses his deity. This is no ordinary birth, conceived by the Holy Spirit. Matthew mentions two times that Mary was conceived by the Holy Spirit in verse 18, in which we've already seen, and again in verse 20, when he says, "But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit.'" God the Holy Spirit placing God the Son in the virgin womb of Mary, stressing His deity. He was all God because He was conceived by God the Holy Spirit. Secondly, it stresses His humanity as well. Jesus was wholly human. He received His human nature from Mary. Now, this was necessary so that Jesus would not have a sin nature. Now, all of us are born into this human race with a sin nature we got from our fathers. All of us were conceived as a result of our father and mothers coming together. We all have a human nature from our fathers and mothers. And it was from our fathers that we received our sin nature. We were born under the condemnation of sin. It came from Adam. He started it all. Romans 5:12, Paul makes it clear. "Therefore, just as through one man," that's Adam, "sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned." From Adam on, he passed the sin nature to his children. His sons passed it to their children. Their sons passed it to their children. All the way down until the present time. But Jesus did not have an earthly father. Therefore, He did not have the sin nature. Therefore, He was able not to sin. And therefore, He was able to be our Savior. In order for Jesus to be our Savior, He had to be sinless. In order to be sinless, He had to not have a sin nature. In order to not have a sin nature, He had to be born of a virgin conceived by the Holy Spirit. And so we see in the virgin birth of Jesus by the Holy Spirit a stress on His deity and also a stress on His humanity. Now, if it took such a miracle for God to bring forth His Son, and the Virgin Mary, we can have no doubt that He's a God of miracles who can work a miracle in your situation today. I don't care what you're going through, how difficult your situation might be, I want you to know that He is still the God of miracles. And let the Christmas event, the Christmas story, remind you that our God is a God of miracles. And He worked a miracle on that first Christmas morning. And He will work miracles in your life as you look to Him in faith and claim His word for you. He's a God that makes rivers in the desert and makes a roadway in the wilderness. Come to Emmanuel, with us God, with your problem, and look to Him to work in your situation. Now, the second truth. Emmanuel, God with us, was a fulfillment of ancient prophecies. God was making good on His word in the birth of Jesus as God came to walk among us. Verses 22 and 23. Now, all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. And He's talking about Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah 7:14. Prophesied some 700 years before Jesus' birth. "Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bear a son, and they shall call His name Emmanuel," which translated means "with us God." Now this prophecy of Jesus' birth contains three elements. First, a virgin would give birth. Secondly, she would give birth to a son. And thirdly, He would be called Emmanuel. Now it's important for us to see what God does to fulfill His word. Again, the unique miracle of Mary being conceived by the Holy Spirit. It took a unique miracle for God to fulfill His word in this prophecy that a virgin would give birth. There are several prophecies that were fulfilled in the birth of the Lord Jesus. Let me show you another one over in Micah chapter 2. This was also prophesied some 700 years before Jesus' birth. And it prophesied that he would be born in Bethlehem. But as for you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, for you one will go forth for me to be the ruler in Israel. His going forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. Here, Micah is prophesying that the Messiah will be born in Bethlehem. Now, I want you to see what God went through, what God had to do to accomplish this prophecy, to fulfill and make good on His word. Mary lived in Nazareth, which was about 70 miles from Bethlehem. So God had to get her to go from Nazareth, her hometown, to Bethlehem, 70 miles away, to have her baby. Now, ladies, how many of you had to travel 70 miles from where you live to have your baby? Now, add to that, she had to walk or ride a donkey 70 miles, being 9 months pregnant. Now, you ladies who've been 9 months pregnant, of course I never have, but I live with one who has been several times, and I know it is uncomfortable. Even the simple task of trying to get out of bed is a major feat, right? Forget washing your feet, cutting your toenails. That's out of the picture, right? You can't reach over. But here you have Mary, 9 months pregnant, having to travel and walk on a donkey for 70 miles. Now, why in the world would a woman ever do that? Well, God had to come up with a good reason. So He moved Caesar Augustus to issue a law that a census had to be taken. Now, God had to move this pagan, Caesar Augustus, to make this law at just the right time in order for it to be fulfilled at the very time of the birth of Jesus. And it was about 3 years after the decree was given by Caesar Augustus before they actually began to carry it out. And it was a decree that everybody had to go back to their home village and be registered for the census. Well, Joseph, being from the tribe of Judah, had to go back to Bethlehem, 70 miles. And it was called on for him to go at the time he had to go when Mary was 9 months pregnant. So there she is traveling on that donkey. And if you've ever ridden on a horse or donkey, that's not an easy ride. Every time they take a step, you know, you kind of go like this and like that. So there she is, bumping all the way down 70 miles, taking several days to get there. And she gets there right on time to give birth. I mean, if she'd given birth 40 miles away, it wouldn't have been a fulfillment of the prophecy. If she'd given birth 10 miles away, it wouldn't have been a fulfillment of the prophecy. Jerusalem was only about 5 miles away. If she'd given birth in Jerusalem, that wouldn't have been a fulfillment of the prophecy. But it was not until she got to Bethlehem that she began to show signs of having labor pains that they knew she had to get somewhere to have the baby Jesus. And it was there that God fulfilled His word that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. God will fulfill His word. He'll make good on His promises. There's another prophecy concerning the birth of Jesus, and that was prophesied by Jacob some 1,400 years before the birth of Jesus. And the prophecy was that the Messiah would be from the tribe of Judah. We see this over in Genesis 49:10. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until Shiloh comes, and to him shall be the obedience of the peoples. So the prophecy was that Jesus, the Messiah, would be born from the tribe of Judah. Now, not only was Mary from the tribe of Judah, but Joseph was also from the tribe of Judah. And so any speculation about Jesus having the right lineage would be removed. You could go either way, through his mom or his dad, and he was from the tribe of Judah. But then, not only was that prophecy made, but Jeremiah narrowed the prophecy even more and said not only would he be born from the tribe of Judah, but he would be born from the family of David within the tribe of Judah. Over in Jeremiah 23:5, prophesied some 600 years before the birth of Jesus. We read in Jeremiah 23:5, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he will reign as king and act wisely and do justice and righteousness in the land. Emmanuel, with us God, was a fulfillment of God's word. God was making good on His promises. He literally moved the ruler of the world to accomplish His word. And that tells me that I can count on God to fulfill His promise in my life. That He is a God who He gives His word, He will keep His word. And He'll do whatever it takes to fulfill His promise to His people. God promises in Philippians 4:19, "And my God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ." Now we like to interpret that financial needs, but it's all needs, emotional needs, physical needs, whatever they might be. God has promised He will supply those needs. Not according to us deserving it, but what? According to His riches in glory in Christ. Now you can count on God to fulfill His promise to you. You have a need, you come to God with that need, and you lay it before Him, and in His time, and in His way, to His glory, He will meet that need. Also, Jesus said over in Hebrews 13:5-6, "For He Himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you, so that you may confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?" You may feel abandoned, you may feel alone, but if you're a Christian, you're not alone. Jesus says He will never, ever leave you or forsake you. You can count on Him. He will never desert you. He will never leave you in a lurch. And that's what that word desert means. It means to leave in a lurch. He will never do that to you. He will always be there with you to help you. When you think about the Christmas story, it should remind you that our God is a promise-keeping God. He's a God who will do anything it takes to fulfill His word. From moving a 9-month pregnant lady to take a 70-mile trip on donkey to have a baby. The third truth we see is Emmanuel, God with us, was necessary for our salvation. As we see in verse 21, "She will bear a son, and you shall call His name Jesus, for it is He who will save His people from their sins." What's in a name? Well, in Jesus' case, everything's in a name. Now, Jesus was a common name in His day. It means God saves, or Yahweh saves. You see, it was a name that the Jewish people gave their sons as a reminder of the hope they had of the coming Messiah. But in the case of Jesus, it was an accurate name. He was the Messiah. The angel said, "Call Him Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins." Now that brings up the question, who are His people? See, is it talking about the nation of Israel? If that's the case, He failed miserably because Israel did not accept Him. They rejected Him. So when the angel says He shall save His people, he's talking about those whom the Father has given Him. Jesus talked several times about those who were His people. One time He called them His sheep over in John 10. He said, "But you do not believe because you are not of My sheep. My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of My hands." Those whom the Father has given Him are His sheep. And so Jesus came to save His sheep from their sins. And then Jesus refers to these again in John 6:37, when He says, "All that the Father gives Me will come to Me. And those who come to Me, I will certainly not cast out." Jesus came to save His people, the ones that God had given Him before the foundation of the world to be His. Sometimes in Scripture they're called the elect or the chosen ones. But these are the ones that Jesus came to save. And Jesus says, "All those the Father has given Me will come to Me. And all who come to Me, I'll in no wise cast out." Now, He came to save them. What does the word save? It means to rescue. It means to deliver. To save them from what? From their sins. The word here, sins, means to miss the mark. It was a term used in archery of shooting at the target and falling short. That's what sin is you and I falling short of God's perfect target and standard of righteousness and holiness. And the Bible, of course, says we all have fallen short of God's righteousness. We all fail to measure up. None of us hits the bullseye every time. But Jesus came to rescue us from the penalty and the power and the pollution of our sins. It is our sins that condemn us to an eternity in the agony and suffering in the fires of hell. But Emmanuel, God with us, came to save His people first from the penalty of their sins. 1 Peter 3:24 says, He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by His wounds you were healed. He bore our sins on Himself there on the cross. He took our place. He was our substitute. That's how He saved His people from their sins. He took their sins off of them and placed them on Himself. And He was punished for our sins. He received the penalty for the sins of His people. But not only did He save us from the penalty of sin, but He also saved us from the power of sin. As we continue in verse 24 of 1 Peter 2. And He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross so that we might die to sin. Now the word death in the New Testament means separation. It means that we have been separated from the power of sin in our lives. Before we come to Christ, we are slave to sin. We cannot help it. We will give in to sin. But when we come to Christ, He sets us free from the power of sin. He breaks the power and the dominion of sin and Satan in our lives. We can say no to sin now. We died to it. But not only has He saved us from the penalty and the power of sin, but He has saved us from the pollution of sin. As we continue in that same verse. He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by His wounds you were healed. Now God declares us righteous. We are cleansed from the pollution of sin. We have been washed clean. Though our sins were scarlet, we've been made as white as snow. That we might live for righteousness. Emmanuel, with us God, was necessary to accomplish our salvation. He had to be man so He could die for men. He had to be God so that His sacrifice would be worthy as a sacrifice for our sins. God with us. As we celebrate the Christmas event, let's reflect on Emmanuel, with us God. Let it remind us that our God is a miracle-working God. And He can work miracles in our lives. Let it bring to our mind that our God is a God who keeps His Word. And you can count on Him to keep His promises in your life. And let it remind us that He is a God who came to save His people from their sins. God with us, Emmanuel. He came to dwell with the sick to heal them. To dwell with the downcast to lift up. With the lepers to cleanse them. With the sick to heal them, with the handicapped to restore them, with those who were poor in spirit to bless them, with the diseased to cure them, with the hungry to feed them, and most of all, with the lost to seek and save them. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank You that You are Emmanuel, with us, God. Oh, may your Spirit press upon us what that means, the richness of that truth, that we might celebrate it this time of the year as well as all year. But it was necessary for you to walk among us so we might walk with you.
It's like the sunrise.
In your name I pray.
Rays flash from His hand, and there's power in His hand. There's power.